Almighty God and Father, we give you thanks. For we see that your mercies are renewed every morning. And that your faithfulness is proven to us each day again, every week again, as we start another week in your presence, in worship. For we seek at the heart of everything your fatherly goodness. For without it, we cannot live. For without it, we cannot face this day. Without it, we cannot face another week. And Father, we thank you for all the ways in which you have shown your fatherly goodness to us in this past week. As you've watched over us, as you've guided us, as you helped us through struggles, as you allowed us to do our tasks. We ask you, may you continue to show your goodness to us again today. As we enjoy this day of rest and this day of worship and rejoice that we can do that together in freedom here this morning. And Father, as we come before you and consider your goodness, we also confess how we have repaid you. The fact that we haven't repaid you by giving you glory as we should have, but as we have sinned against you, both by sinning explicitly against your word and also by sinning by not doing what you have commanded, by leaving out those things that we should have done and doing those things that we should have left undone. Our Father, forgive us. Forgive us not because of anything that we have done or because there is any goodness within us, but forgive us for the sake of your very own goodness and grace that you have shown us in your Son. Forgive us all of our sins, for we come before you offering not sacrifices of bulls and calves and lambs, perhaps unwittingly or unthinkingly offered, but we come before you with that broken and contrite heart that we know you won't turn away. Would you forgive us and then renew us that we may serve you, that we may worship you truly this morning? In that wonderful news that we have been cleansed, renewed, and may live for you. And so would you bless us here this morning. As we've gathered together, this service here may be in true worship to you. That we may do so with our heart, soul, and mind, with all of our being. And that we may do so truly to your glory. That that may be utmost in our minds. And in our hearts. But Father, for that we need your guidance, we need your forgiveness, we need your word and spirit. And so be with us in those today. We ask you this all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And so then also hear this wonderful assurance that God will certainly not turn away those who come before him humbly and repentant. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now continue this morning our reading God's word as we find that in Proverbs. The focus this morning is going to be on Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, or 1 through 6. But in connection with that, we'll read the full chapter as it really, as you'll notice, has to be taken together as there's a very strong contrast in the depiction of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly in the last couple of verses. And so for a bit of context as well, this is the ending to the introduction of the book of Proverbs. Solomon has introduced us to the main themes and the main thought as to this book. And then in chapter 10, it gets into the individual proverbs. But for now, there are some main themes that he drives home here in this chapter, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud, she is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says, to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depth of the grave. And that is the word of God for us this morning. So we'll focus on the first six verses. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure at some point you've seen cartoons that depicted an episode where someone is tempted. That tempting, you know, in cartoons is usually where, you know, there's a devil on one shoulder and an angel on another. The one instigating sin, the other warning and directing into doing what is right. In all honesty, I don't know where that image came from, where that idea came from. And even less so do I think you should take stock in cartoon theology. But maybe there is something to that image that Proverbs chapter 9 sketches for us that is not unlike such a cartoon. So we've read through this chapter, and it's probably easy for us to picture. I think that's also very much what is intended in this chapter, to picture two women standing in front of their houses, calling out for people to come in and enjoy what is offered. But one, it's Lady Wisdom. The other, Lady Folly. The one, offering life. The other one, granting its guests only death. And it's on this image that the book of Proverbs ends its introduction and then gets into the meat of the Proverbs that we so often think of when we think of the book of Proverbs. Now, cartoonish or not, it gets the point across, doesn't it? Two opposing invitations. Two opposing houses and two opposing ends. And both of them are even calling out to the same people, those who are undecided, those who are simple, and those who lack judgment. They say, enter, eat, and drink. We may appreciate the description of Lady Folly as she is loud, in your face. She offers that which is sweet and delicious, yet As so often in Scripture, folly isn't just mean about something that is not smart or dumb. Thou, which goes against God's law. And so also here you see that it is not just that which is sweet and delicious, it's also that which is stolen and, of course, forbidden. Forbidden fruit. And though we won't spend much time on her description, we probably all get it, and we realize this lady folly is very much still applicable today as it was in Solomon's day. Yeah, she's still loud today in various ways, in various aspects, in various areas of our lives, and in this world we can hear her. It hasn't changed. Nor has her draw to get those who are undecided, those who maybe don't want to know any better, to take part in her feast of that which is stolen and forbidden. But there's also another offer and another voice. The maids of Lady Wisdom are sent out to invite those, also again, all who are simple, all who lack judgment, in order to counter the voice of Lady Folly. Let's study those verses this morning. See what Lady Wisdom has to say, what she has to offer, so that we may enjoy wisdom, yes, even eat and drink and live, as she says. So we'll look at that, Wisdom's Banquet this morning. Now, of course, the first question is, who is this? Who is this Lady Wisdom? The most straightforward interpretation is to think of her as, yes, wisdom personified. You know, just think about how we may say today, Lady Justice, and you think of that statue of a lady with weights and a sword and blindfolded. Yes, this is Lady Wisdom. And you can probably think of Lady Folly in the same way. But I'll admit that's not going to be a perfect answer. Because when you actually read chapter 8 and you read even preceding chapters in the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that wisdom is so much more. It's wonderful descriptions of wisdom. It's that which was with God in the beginning, that craftsman that delighted in all that God made, which is why many commentators and believers throughout church history have seen, in especially chapter 8, in that depiction of wisdom, a reference, a shadow of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God. And sure enough, we'll get to him this morning. But we'll take our time. I just want you to realize that, like with so many Old Testament passages, there may be some ways in which we say, yes, this is clearly no personification of wisdom, but at the same time, there's more. And we have to first maybe wonder what would have an Israelite, one of the first readers of Proverbs, have thought as they read about Lady Wisdom. Could we be a bit more specific than just saying that she personifies wisdom? Well, in that light, I do think we can be a bit more specific. I mean, we get to this chapter 9, and as I mentioned, it's the last chapter at the end of the introduction to Proverbs. And as it wraps up, it ends on that striking note, saying you have two options, you have two choices. You can cherish these Proverbs, the wisdom that is collected in this book, or you can reject them. You can listen to the voice of wisdom, or the voice of folly. So Lady Wisdom doesn't just personify wisdom in general, but in some ways stands for the book of Proverbs. That wisdom, that revelation of God given through Solomon. To listen to the voice of Lady Wisdom is to read and to cherish and to study and meditate on the Proverbs and take them to heart. I think this makes sense. And yet, it's maybe when we start to draw out some of the uniqueness and strikingness of this imagery. Because the picture is a banquet. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here." And she says to those who lack judgment, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed." Think about that. Is that what we expect from Lady Wisdom? If I had told you, if I had asked you before this morning to say, okay, we're going to depict Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Let's give us two. I want you to draw something that would depict them. It would make sense if you say, yes, Lady Folly is that lady who's getting you into a good time, a banquet full of pleasure, full of good food. You could get whatever you want. But, you know, Lady Wisdom, well, she's probably like, she built a school. She's an instructor. She's like, it's going to be hard work, but it's going to pay off. Right? Two options, and we all think there is the one that's going to be fun, and there's the one that's going to be smart. A proverb says, no wisdom has built her house, and she invites you to a banquet. She invites you to a banquet. We think maybe initially that's strange, and yet as soon as you start to think about it, and as soon as you start to realize and come to know wisdom, you may recognize how true this is. And may even rejoice, find delight in this image, because this is how it has often been understood, that the banquet, a time of enjoyment, a time of good food and drink, is a picture of learning God's word. A delight in sacred teaching, as one may put it more formally. To get the right picture of wisdom, you have to get the right picture of what God's proverbs are meaning to be. We have to recognize it as an invitation to a banquet. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So who gets invited to this banquet? What is it going to take? Well, in some ways, it seems just open to anyone. Lady Wisdom has sent out servants with invitations. Just as an aside, doesn't that remind you of some of Jesus' parables, sending out servants, inviting to a feast? So she has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Think, well, this is Wisdom's house. Maybe you have to be wise in order to get in. She offers a banquet. Maybe she's just going to invite all those who are wise. Those who have something to offer. No. She says this invitation is very much for those who lack it. Those who are simple. Those who can't make up their own mind. Those who are undecided and struggle to either follow Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly. This invitation is for us. It's for you. It's for me. A calling to all of us, saying, come to the banquet. You lack something, you lack judgment, that's all you need. Come in here. And that's exactly what she does. She calls us to come in. Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Get off the road you're on. Leave behind your simple ways. Sit at my wisdom's table. Enjoy. Eat and drink. Become wise and live. Walk in wisdom. Walk in understanding. Now, I say it's open to all because I want to stress the freeness of this offer, the open invitation. But you have to say, there is also warning in these verses. The grouping of those who are simple and those who lack judgment is deliberate, as does the following warning about correcting a mocker. Right, verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. And it goes on talking about the end of mockers. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. And that probably illuminates some of the meaning of this invitation as well. If you think you're wise enough already, you'll mock wisdom and her invitation. And if you mock her invitation, then you won't listen, and you won't come. For that very reason, those who aren't going to mock wisdom, those who do recognize their lack of wisdom, as those who are searching for it, As for those, this invitation is genuine. Come, take God's word to heart, dine on it, leave your own wisdom and sin behind, and delight in what wisdom has to offer. Because ultimately, it offers life. It offers life and walking in the way of understanding. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? To end this introduction to the book of Proverbs on. It's this serious, but yet joyful invitation to say, you know, study this book, study the Proverbs, study the wisdom that is given in this book. And yet we may still have some questions, especially as New Testament Christians and we come to this image and we think about what is offered here. I mean, we wonder, how does this delight come about? How can we truly delight in all of God's teaching, in all of God's word? How is this banquet so free and open to all? And this is where we may answer, as those who know Jesus Christ in that fullness of the one who was wisdom that came down for us, Jesus Christ. As I already said, he fulfills so much of this imagery already. He's the one who sends out servants with invitations. He's the one who taught as he dined with people. Think about how often Jesus did that. So much so, he was considered a drunkard and a glutton. Yes, even at the very end of his life, in his final hours, what does he do if he doesn't organize a banquet? He celebrates the Passover. Think of Jesus dining with his disciples in the upper room. Don't you think the disciples would say, yes, we came to a teacher. It's those who are simple and lacking judgment. Yet he taught them, and it was their delight. Even in that upper room, he taught the full wisdom of God as he washed their feet, setting examples. And as we learn, he gave them a meal, bread and wine, to continue to celebrate for when he would leave them. It's even the very things that wisdom teaches Jesus taught in his own meal. Doesn't the Lord's Supper impress upon all of us the freeness? It's the invitation, the grace of his offer of life. Doesn't he offer us a meal, a banquet to celebrate that delight and goodness of his teaching? That it is gospel good news. Yes, doesn't he give us bread and wine? To say, this is your life. This is what will sustain you. I, myself, will give it to you. So that if you are anyone who lack judgment and doesn't understand the goodness of what Lady Wisdom is offering, consider the meal that Jesus has given us and learn to delight in wisdom's banquet. It's also when we start to understand how could it be any other way than that wisdom would give us a banquet. Wisdom is, as Proverbs says again and again, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. To worship him. To know him. Well, what do we come to know as we worship our God? We come to know his goodness, his grace, and his power for us. And in every way, Old Testament, New Testament, what has God given us in worship? Well, he has at least in some way, whether in the sacrifice of the Old Testament, whether in the sacraments of the New, a banquet. A banquet. Yes, wisdom's banquet. So we say, yes, this is how Proverbs encourages us to dive into the wisdom God has revealed in that book. An amazing appeal saying, come, enjoy, and live. My question this morning for you is, do you value that appeal? Not just to listen and to read and to meditate on the book of Proverbs, but to really do that in the wisdom incarnate in Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Not just that Jesus Christ and the words that he has given us hold wisdom and life, but that this is the very appeal of him for you. Come. Come. Enjoy and live. Yes, you are simple. Yes, you lack judgment. Yes, you are a sinner. But come, enjoy, and live. Leave your simple ways behind and walk in my ways. Walk in understanding. And that simultaneously, as you believe that, that it teaches you to ignore Lady Folly and repent of your ways. As beyond it, when we are honest with ourselves, we may realize that we may be here physically this morning. We may even participate in the Lord's Supper. But I may know that some of you may even right now be listening to Lady Folly. In your mind, no, even better, in your heart, you're already elsewhere. This may be me thinking that you can read this passage, and yes, I will have it both ways. I will jump from one to the other. In the book of Proverbs, yes, our Lord Jesus Christ warns you, calling you to forsake the ways of Lady Folly, warning you that there is nothing that Lady Folly can offer you freely. Oh, it seems free at first. Yes, it may even seem so good, but it comes at a cost, as the proverb says, the cost of your life, the cost of your soul. And if you see that and recognize your need for a Savior, you also know that there's only one who is able, it's only one who is also willing to save you. The one who has already paid that price. Not so that we can indulge in Lady Folly any longer, but so that we may enter his house and eat and drink at his table. So when we hear Lady Folly, whether she's out there, in our face, maybe in our head, loud and obnoxious. Think of this other banquet, the banquet of wisdom, the banquet of Jesus Christ. It's free. It's a delight. It's life for those who recognize they are not wise on their own. For all those who will leave their ways behind and go to him. Amen. Let's now stand and sing in response hymn 77, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.